ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यम् नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयामुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी विरान्दस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामेहं ददाति सबदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकान्त राधाकान्त नमोस्तुते नर्तकाञ्चन गौरङ्गि राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुस्तुते देवि प्रणमामि हरिप्रिय वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू टू दिस थर्ड डे ऑफ आवर जर्नी ऑफ सेल्फ डिस्कवरी यस्टरडे वी डिस्कस अबाउट द साइंस ऑफ सोल सो व्हाइल डिस्कसिंग अबाउट द साइंस ऑफ सोल फर्स्ट वी डिस्कस अबाउट द फाइव काइंड्स ऑफ द प्रूफ ऑफ एग्जिस्टेंस ऑफ सोल सो while discussing these five kinds of proof, the first proof we discussed was that how, even by common sense, we can understand that there is something beyond this body which is making the body move but cannot be perceived by the senses. Like when we say such and such a person passed away, what does it mean? It means that he is not here, he is somewhere else. Like when a small kid comes to his father and then says, what happened to the grandfather? The father says, beta, dada di chale gaye. Chale gaye means who went? The body is still there. The soul actually left the body and went. The second proof which we discussed was by intuitive understanding. So by intuition we can understand that there is something which we are, something which is dwelling within the body. Like when we say, this is my hand, that means there is a distinct difference between me by with distinct difference between me and my hand. If I say, this is my hand, it means I am not this hand. When I say, this is my body, it means I am not this body. My mind, I am soul. And the third proof which we gave was the presence of consciousness. Like we are able to feel the pain, experience different emotions. All those things are possible because we have the consciousness within us. And consciousness is the center of the soul. And the fourth proof we discussed was near-death experience and out-of-body experiences. How near-death experiences have been recorded by many medical journals and out-of-body experiences also recorded. by which we can understand that there is something within the body which sometimes even goes out of the body, experiences different phenomena, different experiences, and then comes back. And the fifth proof we gave were the past life memories and dreams. These are the five kinds of proof of the existence of the soul. And then we came to the point of understanding what is the soul and its relationship with the body. We compared the whole body system with the soul within it to a system of a computer setup. And we learned yesterday that how there are two kinds of body. One is the spiritual body, and this is the material body. The material body again is again divided into two parts. That is a subtle material body, that is a sukshma sharira. And there is stula sharira, that is the gross material body. And the gross material body is made up of five elements, that is earth, water, fire, air, ether. Ether, these are the five elements. And the subtle material body is made up of mind, intelligence, and pulse. These are the three elements which the subtle body is made up of. The gross body, we compare it to the hardware of the computer. And the subtle body, we compare to the software of the computer. And beyond that subtle body also, there is soul, which can be compared to the plug point and the consciousness to be the electricity. And then there is super soul, who is the source of all the souls, that is the generator. In this way, the whole body, which Krishna calls Yantrarudhanimaya, so this body, which is compared to the machine, it can be compared to the computer. And like the setup of the computer is working very nicely and harmoniously, the same way the soul within the body is making the subtle body move the gross body. Every action is actually a nice, wonderful coordination between the subtle and the gross. And the energies for the subtle body to drive the gross body to execute its functions is possible only because of the strength or the energy given by the given by the soul, which is the consciousness. Now, yesterday we discussed to have a better understanding of this phenomenon. We discussed the phenomenon of death. What happens at the time of death? At the time of death, the soul leaves the body. But when it leaves the body, it doesn't leave alone. It actually leaves along with the subtle body. The subtle body encages the soul and then takes the soul from one gross body to another gross body. So who is actually managing the whole transaction? It is the super soul who is managing the whole transaction. So that shows that when somebody dies, what is in front of you is the gross body only, not the subtle body. The subtle body has gone with the soul. That is why whatever subtle body you had in the previous life, that is coming into this life also. That is why whatever impressions we have got in the previous lives, all the impressions are carried from the previous life to this life. Like yesterday we gave the example, this one person who is very good by birth, one person is very bad by birth. Why? Just because those two people in their previous life had different kinds of experiences or different samskaras, different impressions. And yesterday we went on further discussing about how the soul is eternal. The soul is conscious. The soul is anandamaya. It is our foolishness that we think that the enjoyment or pleasure is kept somewhere in this material world. We go to cinemas. We go to different restaurants. We go to some places of sightseeing. We go to get some pleasure from different objects of this world, thinking I am going to enjoy, I am going to get happiness, ananda, in the objects of this world. But we forget that the happiness is kept within. The soul is anandamaya. Actually, happiness is only in the spiritual platform. Matter is actually dead. How can the live spirit soul can get happiness from some dead matter? It is impossible. Like, we always give this example of somebody trying to search for a watch, wristwatch. He is searching everywhere, but he is not searching in his hands. He is actually wearing a watch, but he is searching everywhere for the watch. The same way, the soul is the source of all happiness. It is happy by its nature, anandamaya bhusa. But we are searching happiness everywhere, except within us. That is the foolishness of this world. And then we have Yesterday we discussed the further qualities of the soul. It transfers from one body to another body. It transfers from 84 lakh species of life. In the soul, it is 1/10,000 part of the tip of the hair that shows that it is immeasurable. And all these qualities we discussed yesterday. And ultimately we discussed that the problem in this world is that we do not have the knowledge of the soul. We actually so much concentrating on so many petty problems of this world. We have financial problem, family problem, that problem, this problem. But the most important problem is, I'm now 40 years old. I got 45, 50. 60 will come. Till now, I don't know what is Bhagavad Gita. I have not realized, I have not got self-realization. So that is the problem. The problem is, I don't have self-realization. All the other problems are actually insignificant. They are all petty problems. The real problem is that I don't have self-realization. I gave the example of the person who was driving the Benz car. And he met with an accident. In the accident, after he got down and started shouting at the truck wala, saying that, no, I am going to take you to the hospital. I lost my car. So he was so much worried about losing his car. But the truck was so told him, why don't you see your own hand? And this person saw the hand. The hand was cut off and the blood was oozing out. He was not knowing the other pieces of the hand, where did it go? And now he is worried about the wristwatch which he was wearing. He was not worried about the blood which is flowing out of the hand. So that is the foolishness of this world. We are worried about so many things which we are not to be worried about. And it's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Asochanu Satastam Prajnavadamsa Bhasase. My dear Arjuna, you are thinking about those things which are not fit to be thought about and thinking that you are a great scholar. That is a big problem in this world. People think that, oh, I got this problem. Oh, I got this problem. I am attending it. I am busy in solving this problem. But actually, these are not problems at all. The real problem is lack of self-realization. So, all the problems in this world has got its solution in one statement. That is how we concluded yesterday's program, saying that, I am not this body, I am spirit soul. This one line is enough to bring the solution to all the problems in this world. So now today, the subject matter is God. It's a very interesting subject matter. To such an extent, everybody is talking about God. Some people say, oh, there is no God. Some people say, no, there is God. Some people say, I believe in God. Some people say, I don't believe in God. So generally, the whole society is divided into two sections. One is the atheist, and there is a theist. Astikas and Nastika. And the concept of God, regarding on based on the concept of the God, the whole society is divided into two sections. Not only divided into two sections, they are Pakka registered organizations. Pakka registered organizations, name on these two. That is the Astika Samajam and there is Nastika Samaj also. With, you know, president, secretary and all these people. They have this. They have members also. So, many of the people, they have this kind of concept. Oh no, we believe in God. But this word belief is a very dubious term. This belief is a term which is actually referring to like this. Somebody says, I believe in God. What does he mean to say? Like I saying, there is a cat behind me. I believe there is a cat behind me. It means what? There may be a cat, may not be a cat, but I believe it is there. Even I am not sure whether it is there or not, but I believe, that's all. In the same way, when it comes to the belief of God, people say, I believe in God. That means, He may be there, may not be there, but I believe, that's all. Because it needs, by believing in Him, I got some peace. But actually, even that person also doesn't have faith in God. So when it comes to the question of God, the word which is supposed to be used is not belief. The word which is supposed to be used is faith. Suppose somebody has faith, then he will do something to accomplish that faith. If there is just belief, belief means I believe. Sometimes you believe, sometimes you don't believe. So what is the use of that belief? Like whenever the situation comes, people start believing God. I'll tell you a small story which actually really happened in my own life. I had one friend in my school days. We were very pakka atheistic people. Atheistic people means we never used to believe in God. Whenever we pass in front of the temple, we would say, this is all stone. Why are you pouring water or milk on this stone? They would have given it to us. Why they are throwing fruits in the fire? Now, these were the concepts we had. Better they would have distributed the fruits there. What are these whimsically chanting some mantras? Just to make some money out of it. So we were having that kind of conversation. It so happened that he had to go to study somewhere else and I had to go to study somewhere else. And it's by fortune I had association of Prabhupada's literature when I was studying in the college. At that time, I came to know logically in that there is something called God. You know, we had to believe in Him. Not only believe, we had to faith in Him. And what is Bhagavad Gita and all these things. Some knowledge we acquired when we were in the college. So after some time when we passed out of the college, I met my old friend Monday. So then he invited me to a function in his house. He was actually opening a factory. So I went to his house. Opening ceremony. When I went there, I saw there was a lot of smoke. And I thought, what's happening? I went inside, I saw my friend wearing dhoti and kurta. He was wearing tilak. And he was doing the yajna there. I was shocked. I thought, you know, what's happened to him? Did ISKCON people come to his college also? What? He has become so religious. You're atheistic people. But anyway, I wanted to just talk to him. So I went near him and told, what happened to you? Don't you remember we are atheistic people? We are not supposed to do all these things. We just have to cut the ribbon. Then my friend called me further. And then he asked me. He told me, and you see, actually there is no God. Then I told, why are you doing all these things? He told, this is all only 10,000 rupees only. Expense is only 10,000 rupees. See, I have invested 10 lakh rupees in my factory. What is there? 10,000 rupees, now let it go. If God is there, you know, He's happy. So when the situation comes, then God may be there. Like, especially next to our temple in Mira Road, we have one big school. 2,000 children study in that school. Hardly about 15-20 children come to take darshan of the Lord. So, but now, sometimes you find many children have started coming. Hundreds of them come. That is, means their exams is good. When the exams come, it means many people come. So, especially I remember one instant when one small boy came to me, I was chanting. And he came and then he gave his pen to me and told, Prabhuji, he somehow knows me. Told me, Prabhuji, why don't you keep the pen near the lotus feet of the Lord and give it back to me? Then I told, why? He says, I'm going to write the exam with this pen. Then I told, are you going to write the exam? Is the pen going to write the exam? Then he was like confused. I told, you are going to write the exam. So you think about Krishna. Just by keeping the pen there, nothing is going to happen to your pen. You have to go at the feet of the Lord. Then something will happen. Good or bad, whatever it may be. But happens. So, in this way, this theism and atheism, people are completely confused. God exists or doesn't exist. The discussion goes on and on, but it doesn't make any difference to God. Like whether the government exists or not, two people are discussing. Does it make any difference to the government? It doesn't make any difference to the government. Whether some people say God is not there. Some people say God is there. I believe in God. I don't believe in God. So it doesn't make any difference to God. We may go on saying, I believe, I don't believe. But our belief doesn't have any effect on the existence of God. Like our discussion whether government exists or doesn't exist will not have any effect on the government at all. The government, it does its own duty. So, going further, we'll we see in the society, how the atheism, in atheism, are having a kind of influence. Those people who consider themselves to be atheists are those people who consider themselves to be theistic people. Let us see these societies. Some Astika Samaj and Nastik Samaj. So there was a Nastik Samaj president. Nastik Samaj president means the president of the atheistic society. He was doing one satsang program. They also do satsang program, Nastika Samaj. And there, about maybe 1,000 people came once to the satsang program. So in satsang program, after the whole satsang program, many people came and congratulated him. Wow, so wonderful. You are giving such a wonderful class. No, it is true that all the problems in this world are because of religion. You actually logically proved that how all the wars, behind every war, there is a hand of religion. And all the social evils are because of religion. So, religion is there because of God, no religion, no problem. That was his formula. So, many people appreciate his lecture also. And generally, though he was the president of the Nastika Samaj, he was a very kind of a very sober person. And he was very humble also. Somebody came and told me, really congratulated and told him, see, I want to become the member of your Samaj, Nastik Samaj. Then he told, see, everybody is coming and appreciating me. Actually, what is there in our hands? We are just speaking something, that's all. Everything is in the hands of God. So then he was actually expressing his humility. But he came to God. For 1 hour he gave a lecture, there is no God. But now he says everything in the hands of God. Now you go to the Astika Samajam. I don't know how many of you must be from South. They must be members of the Astika Samajam also. What happens there? Let us see. Generally this time, the Shankaranti time is a very famous time for them. They do Anudanam and all these things. So you will find those people who are the members of the Astika Samajam. They do all the yajna, they do all kinds of havan, and then they have prasadam is distributed. And the whole thing gets over. Then what are they discussing about? They sit and discuss about politics, cricket, movies. And it's all happening in the temple. There is no discussion of God at all. And that is called Astika Samajam. Oh, we are all Astikas. But where is the discussion of God? There is no discussion about God. So the whole society is actually completely confused. It's like a cat on the wall. Sometimes in the wall you have a cat. The cat is about to jump onto the right side. Immediately thinks, no, I'll jump onto the left side. About to jump onto the left side. He thinks, no, I'll jump onto the right side. In this way, it is not able to make out what side I should jump. That is the situation of everybody. They are not able to know what exactly is the position of God. So let us see logically today, prove the existence of God from the scientific point of view. Rather, before actually entering to this proof of existence of God, let us go and verify and see the history of atheism in this world. Atheism actually was there from the dawn of creation. As soon as the creation happened, at that time from the earlobes of Vishnu, their two dust particles came down and they became two demons. They are Madhu and Kaitava. As soon as they are born, immediately they saw Vishnu and then thought, we want to kill him. That is atheism. Atheism means they want to kill God. Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. They are such a big atheistic people. They are great atheistic people. The present atheistic people, when compared to Ravana or Hiranyakashipu, they are nothing. Actually, atheism is not a new concept. It was there right from the dawn of creation. Many, many atheists have been, they have come, and they were all killed. So now, the atheism is spreading like wildfire. How is it, what strength the atheism is spreading? The atheism is spreading on the strength of science these days. They say, oh, science. Scientists say there is no God, that is why we say there is no God. Now let us see the history of science. About few hundred years back, there was one scientist named Newton. He was sitting under one tree, the apple fell down. the apple fell down, he thought, oh, why the apple fell down? Why did not go up? In this way, he started contemplating and then brought out one theory of gravitation. During that time, everybody, including Newton also, they are pakka religious people. They are theistic people. They used to regularly go to church. So when they used to go to church, in the church, they had some queries. They used to ask the father in the church, oh, father, please explain to me why there is day and night. What is this lunar eclipse? What is this solar eclipse? Why the change of seasons are there? Whether the earth is flat, whether the earth is round in shape. While the creation took place, when these questions were asked, the father used to say, hey, don't ask these questions. When they asked, what is creation? Creation, Monday, this happened. Tuesday, this was created. Wednesday, this was created. But their answers to these inquiries to the natural existence, the existence of inquiries of nature, the answers were not really clear. They were not really fitting into the logic of the people. The intelligence of the people were not satisfied. At the same time, they were inquiring these questions to the scientist. When they were asking these questions to the scientists, they were answering very nicely. Oh, you throw a stone at this speed, the stone will fall at that distance. And then they used to explain that why the day is happening, why the night is coming, what are the change of seasons. Everything they were explaining very logically with diagrams. Then people start thinking that if you want answer to the questions, you have to go to science. If you are intelligent, you believe the scientists. You take up science. If you are sentimental, then you take up religion. So religion is with a sentimentalist and science is with the intelligent people. In this way, there was a shift of faith from religion to science. So as the time passed by, people lost faith in religion. They thought religion is just an opium of fools. Some foolish, less intelligent people, they want some kind of resort. That is why they say God and religion and scriptures. But if you are really intelligent, if you want to know the truth, then you have to accept science. But at that time, they were not knowing that in this land of the Bharatavarsha, that there are Vedic scriptures which were more scientific than any other scriptures of this world. Not only that, the Vedic scriptures are not only talking about the spiritual subject matters, they are talking about the material subject matters, the material science, more perfectly than many of the modern science. That was not known to the world. Only recently people started seeing that how even the material science, the modern science, has got it unanswered questions in the Vedic science. If the Vedas, they had the answer to all the questions of natural inquiry. Inquiry into the nature. Whatever inquiry is there, every inquiry has got a perfect answer in the Vedic scriptures that the world was not knowing. So let us use the same science and then prove that there is something called God or somebody God, some person called God who is there in this world. The first and foremost proof of the existence of God is that there is a controller behind everything. You find this whole world is nicely controlled. There are the oceans are coming at a particular place, at a particular extent, and then go back. The waves come and then go back. The ocean is so vast. If it is just waves, like same example, there's one tsunami which comes, and then it can wash out the whole of Bombay. It doesn't happen. Hope it doesn't happen. It just comes. Water comes to one extent and goes down. That means there's perfect control. Like you have a traffic control mechanism here. Traffic is controlled. That is why you're able to nicely go on the roads. You find there are so many satellites. There are so many stars. There are so many moving objects, planets. They're all moving. But you don't find two things crashing. Why? There is a control mechanism. So whenever there is a control mechanism, that means there is a controller behind it. Nothing in this world happens without control. You find the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Not a single day the sun thinks I'll take a casual leave. It is happening in a perfect way. Who is controlling all these movements? There is some controller. If there is a controlled mechanism, that means there is a controller. Not only that, in this world you find everything is nicely organized. Whatever you want, you require air, the air is provided. You require food, the food is there in the nature. You require fire, the fire is there in the nature. Everything is actually there, present in the nature. For every urge, there is a fulfillment in nature. Like for example, you go into a kitchen, you want to cook halwa, and you find whatever is required to cook halwa is there in the kitchen. What does it mean? Somebody who knew that you want to eat halwa, somebody who knew how to make halwa, has already come before you in the kitchen and provided everything. In the same way, in this world, whatever is required for you is already arranged in nature. What does it mean? There is somebody who knows what is your requirement. There is somebody who knows how to manufacture the requirement, who has already kept it for you. Nature. Whose nature it is. Now you go into the kitchen, oh, everything is nicely arranged. There is no requirement of anybody. No. Everything is arranged means there is somebody who is arranging them. Nothing just comes out automatically. Now you come into this hall. You find all the chairs are kept nicely and everything is kept at a proper place. Mic is like this. Do you think everything has come out by chance? No. Somebody came and arranged everything. Somebody is organizing this. If there is an organization, there is an organizer behind it. If there is a control mechanism, there is a controller behind it. And not only that, everything in this world is functioning according to certain laws. Like in the physics or in the chemistry, we study the laws of motion. Newton's laws of motion. Like we studied Newton's laws of motion. Was it that before Newton, these laws were not existing? No. This is not Newton's laws of motion. There's God's laws of motion. Of course, there's a scientist who found out that some laws like that are existing. That is why these names have been put. But actually, these laws were originally created by God. If there is a law by which this whole world is functioning, then there is a lawmaker. There are laws governing heat. There are laws governing the motion of physical objects. There are laws governing electricity. There are laws governing the different aspects of this material world. Nothing happens whimsically. Everything is controlled by law. So that means there is a lawmaker. And not only that, you'll find there is one wonderful design in this material world. You just see a rose flower. How beautiful is this rose flower? Do you think the rose flower was just comes out like that? No. Somebody had designed that rose flower within the small seed. Like, to give you a small example, when you see a nice, wonderful painting of a flower, rose flower. And you see, oh, what a beautiful painting. Who made it? Isn't it? We ask it. Who made it? That flower, it doesn't have any form. It doesn't have any smell. It is just having some kind of two-dimensional picture. It is just a picture. As soon as you see the picture, it's so beautiful that you say, who made it? And these days you find in people's houses, like you have plastic flowers. They look very natural. Even sometimes the plastic flowers, they have this some water drops on top of it. And when you look at it, you find them to be more natural than natural flowers. This quality of the colors have increased so much that they are able to make something like that. As soon as you see this something like this, you find, oh, where did you get it from? Who made it? It has no smell. It has just some form, that's all. We ask, who made it? Where did you get it from? But when you see an original flower, rose flower, Do we ever ask who made it? We never ask it. Isn't it? We never ask it. If you really ask, then what would be the answer? God made it. Isn't it? So, somehow or the other, we have consciously or unconsciously forgotten God. To such an extent, we don't want to know about Him. We don't want to even inquire about Him. We want to know who made the painting. We want to know where did you get this plastic flower from? Who made the plastic flower? But we never will inquire who made this nice, wonderful, natural rose. Who designed it? So there is a designer behind this beautiful world. Not only that, ultimately there is a creator behind this world. Nothing comes out without creation. Nothing comes out by chance. People say, oh, the whole world was created by chance. And actually, by chance, nothing comes out. No creation happens. Do you think, say for example, in a family, the husband comes to the house and he's sitting in front of his dining table, his nice, wonderful plate, your chapatis, your sabji, the dal, and so many sweets, a big feast is there. And then his friend is also there. And then the friend asks the husband, oh, who made all these things? Then the husband says, it came by chance. What will the wife feel? She feels to take the same plate and then beat on his head. I worked hard for 4 hours to cook this. How can this come by chance? To make chapati itself is so much of hard work. It requires a lot of intelligence, a lot of hard work. Don't you think to create this material world, you require energy, you require intelligence? These days, they explain, the scientists explain, that this whole creation comes by chance. And they give the explanation of a big theory called Big Bang Theory. I don't know how many of you know about this theory or must have heard about this theory called Big Bang Theory. They say about thousands and thousands, not thousands, millions and billions and trillions of years back. That is how the story goes. There's a Big Bang. Actually, they say there was a situation called singularity. The situation of singularity is like this. It is infinite temperature, infinite density, and zero volume, infinite mass. And it is so dark that you cannot see. That's called black hole. Because it has everything, that all the particles condensed at a particular place. And this infinite density, zero volume, infinite mass, infinite temperature is mathematically impossible. So they say this real world, which is real, this world what you're able to see, it came from a mathematically impossible situation. At the first step itself, the Big Bang Theory fails. But still there is a proposition from the scientists that this situation of singularity, after some time, this blasted like anything. There's a Big Bang of this black hole. And the different particles which was compressed and condensed into that black hole, they started moving at increasingly variable velocities. When they started moving at a particular incident, what happened was, the huge mass of gas started burning that became the sun. And after some time, a piece of the sun, it flew away from its orbit and then started rotating around the sun. And after some time, this burning piece of gas, it condensed and became water. And after some time, this water started thinking, why I should be water only? I should be some part land and some part water. And that became earth. And after some millions of years afterwards, under the earth crust, somewhere in the water, beneath the oceans, few chemicals started floating here and there. And one day these chemicals had a meeting. When these chemicals had a meeting, they combined together in the meeting to such an extent, they made one committee called Life Committee and it became a unicellular organization. It became a unicellular organism and the life feature came into that because of the combination of chemicals. And this unicellular organism started thinking, why should be only one cell?
I should become multicellular. I should become many cells. And then they started thinking, you know, why should be having some formless thing? I should have a form. And they became fishes. And few fishes came up the ocean. They started jumping up and then they saw some land is there. And they started going to land and come back. They become something like tortoise. And after some time, some creatures, they started staying on the land. And they started thinking, you know, why I should be having a small legs, I should have bigger legs. And they became some kind of animals. And some, they were trying to climb up the trees and then trying to fly, they became birds. And some of the animals, they started thinking, you know, why I should have four legs, I can have just two legs and two hands. And then they became monkeys. And these monkeys, when they were going, one day they saw their face in the mirror, or some pieces of glass which are lying on. They start thinking, oh, why am I having an ugly face? Why am I like this? I should stand straight. Then they became chimpanzees. And after some time, these chimpanzees start thinking, I should be more straight and more erect and more smart. Then they became humans, Homo sapiens. And we are just waiting. What's next now? What's next? That is not in our textbook. That is why there will be no question now. Well, after Homo sapiens, who are there? No, we'll see. After some 5,000 years, we'll have something. Now, you will see the whole process of creation, which is mentioned in our textbook, is this. After hearing this, you'll be thinking, any intelligent person would ask a question, which is a fairy tale. When you tell a story from the Mahabharata, and tell a story from Ramayana, then yeah, this is all fairy tale. This is all mythology. But if you are really intelligent, you will find the story of the Big Bang Theory is more mythology than Ramayana. It is more mythology. Because there is no logic and no connection. It is completely absurd. And we call this science. So anyhow, they say there's a big bang. And because of the big bang, the whole nice, wonderful universe came into existence. It is like saying, there's a big mountain here, 1,000 years back. About 50 years or 25 years back, there's a big mountain here. Hiranandani came and dropped a bomb there and became Hiranandani estate. About 10 years back, Kalpataru builders came and dropped a big bomb here and then buildings came up. Is it possible? No. How can an organized structure will develop out of a bang? By dropping a bomb, you will have destruction, no construction. Now this whole world, which is with millions of universes around and so many planets which are nicely arranged in a systematic way, do you think this harmony and systematic way of construction or creation will happen by a bang? By throwing some bomb on a printing press, will you get a dictionary out of it? No, we will not get all these things. So there is an intelligent person. There is a designer. There is a controller. There is a creator. Even the scientist, great scientist named Newton. Though he was a great scientist, he was a pakka Christian. He actually accepted the existence of God. But his friend was an atheistic person. So he wanted to convince his friend that the creation, about the creation, that there is God behind it. So one day Newton invited his friend to his house, to his laboratory. Then took his friend to the laboratory and Newton, he has a big wheel, he started rotating that wheel. When he started rotating the wheel, his friend was amazed to see the whole model of the universe with the sun in the middle and all the planets which are revolving and rotating around the sun. And his friend told Newton, who made this prototype model of the universe? Then Newton told, you see, yesterday night I was working in the laboratory and I felt sleepy. I went to sleep. In the midnight I heard a big bomb blast in the laboratory. Morning I come and see, this universe came by chance. The friend told, it is impossible. How can this wonderful arrangement come by chance? How can it come by a blast? No, it came yesterday. I heard the big blast, bomb blast here in the laboratory. That is why I'm seeing here. This is a big, nice, wonderful structure is here. Model of the universe. It came by chance. And Newton's friend did not agree. Told it's impossible. And Newton told his friend, my dear friend, you're not able to agree that this prototype model of the universe could come by chance. You're not able to agree that this prototype, you're thinking that this prototype model came by cannot come by a big blast. If this model of the universe cannot come by chance, if this model of the universe cannot come out of a blast, how can you say that the original universe has come by a blast? How can the original universe just come by chance? You require a person behind it. Without a person, no creation happens. You require an intelligent person who knows the purpose of this creation. Who knows that this is how the creation has to be done. Now many people ask this question. Okay, there is a creator, there is an organizer, there is a designer, everything is there. But I want to know. If he is there, why I cannot see him in this world? Why cannot see God? That is why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Matta paratanam nanyat kinchakasti dananjaya mahi saradam protam sutre manigananiva. He says, sutre manigananiva. All the universes in this world are nicely arranged like the pearls in the necklace. The pearls in the pearl necklace are nicely put on a thread, isn't it? If the thread is removed, what happens? All the pearls will just get scattered. So it is a thread which is unseen, holding all the pearls. In the same way, all the planets are held with the Supreme Lord. Like the thread is holding all the pearls. But the unseen thread can be seen by the seen pearls. Nice, wonderful arrangement of the pearls in the pearl necklace itself is a proof that there is a thread underlying within it, which cannot be seen. In the same way, it is God who is actually underlying within this universe, who is holding all the universes together. Like you put a ball up, the ball falls down. How can this nice, wonderful ball called the moon is just hanging out in the space and nicely rotating like this? How is the sun and all, everything is just holding, being held like that? You may say so many theories, but somebody is a substratum. There should be some substratum to hold anything. What is the substratum which is holding everything? What is the basis of everything? That is Krishna. That is God. So this shows that there is somebody who is behind this universe, who is a lawmaker, who is a designer, who is the organizer, who is the manager, who is the creator of all existence. So this is how we can prove that there is somebody called God. Now, the question arises, that if God is there, I accept. It is nice that God is there. But I want to know, if God is there, there should be only one God. Why there are so many religions in this world? This is also a very important subject matter. So let us discuss this point, that why there are so many religions in this world. If there is God, there should be only one person. If there is one God, then why there are different religions? The different religions are there because of different audience. Actually, there is one God. That is why you find in all the religions, there is only description that there is only one God. Let us take the example of three religions. One will take that of the Sanatan Dharma, the other the Islam and Christianity, the major religions of this world. So now here, I'm not calling the Hinduism. I'm using this word Sanatan Dharma. Why? Because the word Hinduism is having no meaning at all. It is actually it's a term which is nowhere mentioned in neither the Vedic scriptures nor in the Sanskrit dictionary. This word Hindu is not found anywhere. This Hindu is a meaningless word. How this word Hindu came into existence is like this. When the Persians, when they came to attack this land of Bharata, so they were all camping on the western bank of the Sindhu River. You find in the north, in the northwestern region, there is one river called the Sindhu River near Punjab. So on the western side of the Sindhu River, all the Persian soldiers, the Muslim soldiers, they were all camping. So they were all speaking in the Persian language. So this Persian language, there is no pronunciation for the word, for the alphabet S. Wherever this S comes or Sa comes, they say Ha. Like in Bengali, I don't know how many of you know about this thing. The Bengalis, they cannot pronounce V. Wherever V comes, they say B. When they are asked to pronounce Vishwanath, they pronounce as Vishwanath. They would say Vivekanando. They cannot say V. V word is not there in Bengali. In the same way, in the Persian language, there is no pronunciation for the word S. Wherever S comes, they would say H. So they were calling those people on the western or the eastern bank of the Sindhu River. They were all addressing them as Sindhus. Those people on the other side of the Sindhu River, they were Sindhus. When they pronounced this word Sindhu, what it became? It became Hindu. So this word Hindu is derived from the mispronunciation of a Muslim. So we say, Garu Sikho Ham Hindu Hai. Who named it? So actually, this word is Sanatan Dharma. The Dharma which we use is Dharma Sanatan Dharma. If you see all the three major religions of this world, the fundamental concepts, the fundamental teachings are all the same. They all talk about one God. They all talk about love of God to be the ultimate goal of life. They all talk about chanting the names of the Lord. Like we have this Japamala. This Japamala has got 108 motis, 108 beads. If you see the Muslims, they also chant on a Japamala. That also has got 108 beads. If you go to a Christian in the church, they'll be chanting on a rosary, on the glass beads. They have got glass beads because there is no tulasi which is grown in that area. That is why they will be having glass beads. That is also counting 108. Not only that, they all talk about accepting a spiritual master. They all talk about controlling the senses. So the basic tenets of all the religious principles are the same. But where is the difference? The difference is in the details. Like you cannot ask a person living in the desert to get up early in the morning at 3:30 and have Ganga Snan and do Shaligram. To do Abhishek Shaligram, because there is no water to drink. What will you do? To offer nice wonderful bananas and nice wonderful coconuts. What coconut there in desert? So for him, there should be a kind of religious principle which he can follow. And not only that, not everybody in this world is at the same level of culture. Not everybody is in the world or in the same level of renunciation. Some people are too attached to grasp material as objects. Some people are very much renounced. So the religious principles also differ to the degree of one's renunciation and culture. Like, if you go to some Arabic countries or some South African jungles and then African jungles and then say, advertise, there's going to be a course on Bhagavad Gita, Journey of Self-Discovery. Now, all of you please come attend 2.5 hours every day, hear about soul. Do you think the cannibals would come and sit like this? They would not do that. They just cannot do that. So, but still, they have attained a human form of life. So there should be some kind of religious principles for them, which are ultimately aiming to the ultimate purpose of religious principles, that is to attain love of God. So there are different religious principles for different audience. That doesn't mean these religious principles are essentially different. They are not essentially different. They are different in the details for different audience. That's all. Like the Quran, it talks about how you can marry more than one wife. Why? Because at that time, those people were so much engrossed in illicit sexual activity that to stop this kind of illicit sexual activity, this kind of injunction had to be spoken by Prophet Muhammad. He told, okay, don't just go on becoming like animals. If at all you want to enjoy a sexual relationship, you have to be responsible for it. You get married. But at the same time, if you see Sanatana Dharma, there it is mentioned that you should be very much controlled in your senses. If at all you want to get enjoy a sexual relationship, you should get married. But only to one and be satisfied with one. And ultimately aim your life towards renunciation. But those injunctions cannot be told to a certain kind of people who are attached to grossly enjoying some material substances, material objects, material enjoyment. Like it is said in the Quran that don't have association, relationship with your own mother or sister. Why this injunction is there in the Quran? Because at that time, people were so degraded that they were not even seeing any difference between their mothers and sisters. That is why this injunction had to be spoken. So there are different levels of audience. So to these different levels of audience, one God has spoken different religious principles. Like the same one government or the education board creates different textbooks for different grades of students. Like for example, a small child is studying in the nursery or in the first or second standard. This child is taught, the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. The child is so happy to learn that. But for a sixth or the seventh standard child, it is told, no, the sun is stationary, the earth is moving around the sun. No, as soon as when the child, when this kid is there, the kid is taught, the sun is rising in the east. That is, sun is moving. That is what is being taught. But as soon as he grows to higher standards, exactly opposite. The sun is stationary, the earth is moving. When he grows to graduation, he does some kind of post-graduation or graduation. When he is learning some kind of geography or some kind of astronomy or so, he is taught that everything is moving. So, but ultimately, whatever, though you may see that there is complete difference in what is being taught in all the three levels, but there is a particular objective behind it. That is to teach a particular concept. So the differences which are found is only external, but the real fact is the purpose behind all these so-called different instructions in different religions is meant to achieve one thing, that is love of God. All the scriptures talk about that ultimately you have to renounce and attain the love of God. That is the purpose of all the purpose of human life. So you find different religions is because of different audience. Otherwise, there is no question of any difference in these religions. The difference is only in the details, not in the essence. That has to be understood. Now a question arises within our mind that, okay, God is there. I accept. But there is only one God. I accept it. But let that God be there wherever He is. Let me be there wherever I am. Why are you troubling me? Let Him do His job. Let me do my job. What I have got to do with Him? What does I have got to do with Him? He is creating. He is doing everything. Let Him do. I got my work to do. I got my family to take care of. I am working hard and taking care of my family. So what I got to do with God? Why are you accepting in my life? Ultimately, what I got to do with Him? Actually, in the whole course, the most important topic is this. There are so many things which we'll be discussing. But ultimately, what matters to me is what I have got to do with God. What's in it for me? If I accept God in my life, what I'm going to get? If I'm not accepting, what I'm losing? Why I should accept God in my life? What is the necessity for me? That is the topic we'll be discussing in the second half. Till now we discussed the proof of existence of God and why there are different religions, etc. Now, in the second half, we'll be discussing why we require God in our life. What is the necessity of accepting Him in my life? So any questions?
What is the significance of 100 beats? You told that all the religions have 100 beats.
What is the significance? 108 beats. Okay. Any number, by counting all the digits in it, if it comes to 9, that is considered to be complete. Like 81, 18, 27, 108, 1008, like any, because 9 is a complete number in the digits, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then again it becomes 0. So that's the concept. That is the explanation given. But the Gaudiya Vaishnava explanation is, Shri Krishna has 108 prominent gopis, out of which 8 are the most prominent, 8 sakis. If you see the Japamala, which we have, you also got it today for yourself. After the 8th bead, you have on mark. A special thread here to mark the difference between the 8 and the other 100. So this is Krishna and 108 beads. The 108 prominent Upanishads, like that. 108 has got a lot of significance. But ultimately, this, if you see the numerical point of view, this is a 9, which is the complete, it shows completeness. Here somebody had it.
I don't know whether you are going to cover this in our subsequent discussions. If there is a Supreme Master, and we are all part of him by virtue of having a soul of a super soul, and you said everything is decided by our karmas into what life we'll get after this death, then why are some people destined to do good things, some people are destined to do bad things, and some people do and somebody else suffers in life? For example, a small child dies when he's small. The parents suffer for it. So who decides and what makes a person do a good things and bad things? Who's eventually controlling and why are some people chosen for good things and bad things? If there is a Supreme Master there.
So definitely we'll be covering this point tomorrow's or day after tomorrow's class when we're talking about karma. Since you asked this question, just try to answer in a brief way. So everybody has got two aspects in their life. One is the karma, the other is the free will, both. Because of our previous good or bad activities, we get a particular kind of situation. In that situation, what we are going to do depends